You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. So I got this tweet, which I thought was interesting, which I think you'll appreciate, Matt, from one of our listeners who is in Jim West. He says, I'm 42. I've never seen Top Gun or Footloose. So I said, go see Top Gun immediately.
Absolutely.
Footloose is great, too.
I've seen Footloose once.
It's a fine movie. Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Top Gun.
Not my cup of tea.
No, it's not Top Gun. Top Gun, I mean, there was certainly a long period in my life where if somebody said, what is your favorite movie, the answer would have been Top Gun.
And I think Top Gun was like ahead of its years in movie making.
Yeah.
Know, with their ability, with Tom Cruise so young and Val Kilmer so young and just
Anthony Edwards.
And then the
James Skerritt.
Yeah, the movie making of catching, you know, the fighter pilots,
yeah.
That whole story of, you know, Miramar. I think, and that's where my interest lies in any military movie that's made, as long as it's, you know, reviewed and watchable, I'm into it. Because I want as much information as I can about what happens behind the scenes. The same way that we essentially share information about what happens in this building, what happens out on the practice field, the media, when they're not able to see, they want to know.
Right.
And that's my interest in the military. It's like,
how do you really do this?
multi-billion dollar expense. That's a vast majority of our tax money each and every year. What goes into it? What's the training like? How do we kill Osama bin Laden? You know,
Have you seen Zero Dark Thirty?
I have. I can watch Zero Dark Thirty over and over again.
I still need to see. And like these are, it's so hard. As you know, it's so hard to get watch movies. But I still have to see Zero Dark Thirty.
Love it.
What is it? Lone Survivor? Is that what that's called?
Yes, with Mark Wahlberg.
Uh-huh.
Great movie.
I want to see that, and then I've got to see American Sniper.
What?
I haven't seen any of those.
I think
three.
It's out on DVD now.
It is.
Dude, you got to go see that.
Those are the three. Those are my
top
three.
And I would think, for those of you listening out there, that is by far and away much more of a must-watch than Curb Your Enthusiasm is.
For those of you who have seen Curb Your Enthusiasm,
if you have a pair,
you know what I just
if
said.
You have a pair, you must go see those three movies.
Yes, if you he's talking about
you don't
cards,
necessarily
folks.
Need a pair,
pocket
to,
aces.
You don't necessarily need about. A pair to see Curb Your Enthusiasm.
No, it's got its broad appeal.
Okay.
Broad appeal. So we're not cutting off half of the population, Matt Wilhelm.
You can John Cruck it if you want.
Yes, we're gonna go to Rick in Green. Rick, welcome to the show.
Hi, I got a question regarding the Browns and their receiving core.
Sure.
There's been some discussion about five or six borderline receivers on the team. Want to know if you folks have talked to anybody or any opinions of your own about who might be able to make this team besides Travis Benjamin and the other hardline and so forth. But
all
some
right,
of
so,
these, the
yeah,
Rodney so, Smithers, Lenz, Cohn, Browning, Jennings,
sure.
People like that.
All right, so here's how I see the receiving group. Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline, Andrew Hawkins, and Vince Mailey are going to make the team. So that's four. I'm going to say right now, I believe the best wide receiver on this team right now is Taylor Gabriel.
Yes.
I think he's going to make this team.
Yes.
That's five. So number six, you got Marlon Moore, who's a special teams monster. And if you have a team that is going to be built on defense and good special teams, is it more important for you to have a special teams monster as one of the cutest creatures in the world comes into our building? You see that dog that he's got?
I didn't see the dog.
Oh, my God. It's a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel puppy just in his arm. Very adorable. Come bring that into the Dog Bowl. That would be like Swagger's breakfast.
It would.
Snack. That's what that dog would be. I lost. Where was I going?
Wide receiver. Talking about Marlon Moore, special teams.
So Marlon Moore is, I think right now, if I was to say right now, if you said these are the six that are going to make it, that's who I would say. Now, Rodney Smith has shown a lot of flashes, and he's unique in that he's 6'5". He's fast. He doesn't separate, you know, but he's got a big catch radius. He's a big guy. He, I think, is in competition with Marlon Moore for that sixth spot. I think Lentz, who they brought in, they like a lot. They think he's kind of a Wes Welker type. He's done a very good job. He's in competition. To me, it's crazy to say, but I almost think the top five are set, and it's going to be a battle for that sixth spot. I almost think the top six are set. I think to get Marlon Moore out of there, somebody's going to have to really ball.
Yes.
And if they ball that much, then maybe it's a veteran that's not here.
Wow. Which would be very difficult.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see that happening. That's why I think it's almost – I think it's going to be one of the most interesting competitions that's going to be somebody's got to break through a wall to get – to make this team, I think.
Yes. And I think
Travis Benjamin is going to have a tough time making this team.
I do
right
too,
now.
Even as a special teams contributor as well, as a punt returner, which is kind of up in the air right now. I think training camp practices will not be enough of a platform for that sixth guy to separate himself and solidify his role on this team. I do believe that those practices versus the Buffalo Bills, which will mimic a game setting, and also the preseason games. If you ball out in a preseason game, that is the best way for Ray Farmer and these coaches to truly evaluate what they can expect and how you expect you to perform in that setting, whether it's on the road or at First Energy Stadium, once the season actually starts. So those preseason games for that sixth wide receiver, if I'm Travis Benjamin, these guys are going to be taking every rep possible, asking to go back into the game, whether it's Connor Shaw, Thad Lewis, Johnny Manziel, or Josh McCown, for an opportunity to make a big play. The same way we saw Isaiah Crowell on his last string in the fourth preseason game, balling out, solidifying his role on this football team.
Yeah, that's what these guys are going to have to do. And I can tell you from talking to people in and around this building and around the league, the word is that Taylor Gabriel has been the most impressive, and he's the one guy that the DBs don't necessarily want to see trot out because he can make you look bad.
He does.
With his ability to separate.
And he's just the template and the platform that is Joe Hayden as one of the top five corners in the league daily at practice has trouble checking Taylor Gabriel. That's fact. Not to call out Joe Hayden.
But what this does
to Joe Hayden, and we've known before, Joe dominates the big physical wide receiver. The Antonio Browns of the world that run those underneath, you know, chase route type route running, the elusive ones, is what Joe Hayden needs to work on. So seeing a guy like Andrew Hawkins and Taylor Gabriel daily will only make Joe Hayden a better corner once the season starts.
It will, and Wilbert Montgomery, you know who he compared Taylor Gabriel to, which I thought was pretty high praise? The guy who actually made the greatest show on Turf Go, and that's Oz Hakeem.
Yes, that third guy.
Yeah.
He had Holt, Isaac Bruce, but Oz Hakeem
was the
when
one.
He was balling.
He was the straw that stirred the drink. 216-578-0850. I feel surprisingly good right now. I'm not going to lie. I've caught like my... Is it my first win? It'll catch up to you. Or is it my second wind? I don't know what your second wind is. It's my second wind.
Your first wind was what got you through last night.
Okay.
This is your second wind. It's usually much shorter than your first wind.
It just needs to go for another hour and 11 minutes.
Yes, it does.
And then I got Dog Pound Report tonight.
Oh, that'll be great.
Oh,
you got to get a nap in there.
Oh, man.
Sorry. I won't be there to ease you. To take control and ease the role.
Come with me, man. Come on. Derek and Westlake, welcome to the show. What do we want? Wilhelm, what do we want it now? What? What's that, Derek?
Sounds like somebody's going to need an IV a little later on tonight.
I might. No emergency room, though.
Not like Steve-O,
who had a vodka IV once. Bad idea.
Right. Watch out for cramping.
So,
understanding that they're both very different, there's no question that Huey Lewis is definitely over Kenny Loggins.
Oh, all right. I appreciate you participating. You are entitled to your incorrect opinion. Highway to the danger zone, baby.
Well, the one thing about it is that, you know, and all the things that you mentioned, Kenny Loggins has a lot of iconic songs that we can remember. There was even the one that they actually used a lot in sports in the 80s, the one tuned This Is It.
This Is It, yes.
Also
That's
great.
Huey Lewis. That's a great song. But you know what?
Huey Lewis is Kenny, or I mean, This Is It is Kenny Loggins.
This
and,
is it. Shua, please let. If this is it,
yep.
Or is that a
no,
different
no,
song?
No,
or are you saying it's a different song?
Yeah, it's a different tune.
Okay,
check it. You'll know it if you'll know it when
you hear it. Like, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, being a somewhat music nerd, I'm definitely there's a lot more of Huey's catalog that if I had to sit on an island and listen to either, I'd definitely take Huey.
So who at their peak is better though? Let's go with that argument then, so I can try to get you on a Logan song. Who's if you had to listen to one song from the two of them over, like that was like your only song that you got, which song would you pick?
Wow, that's a good question. Probably, which is not as well known, but it would be a Huey Lewis tune called "Trouble in Paradise."
Okay, all right, and, you're staunchly Lewis.
I'm staunchly Lewis, although I would say even over, I love Top Gun, but even over Top Gun, Caddyshack, because I'm a little older, is even more iconic than I'm All Right from Caddyshack.
I watch Caddyshack on my birthday every single year, and I've done it for years. I love that movie.
Yeah, I've seen it more times. It's kind of like you guys were talking about with Top Gun. I can still recite the whole movie probably pretty much from beginning to end.
So good.
I don't watch it enough.
Oh, it's so good. We played that last night at Dive Bar. We played because we were doing Loggins Lewis. We played All Right. And, you know, at the beginning it has the, you know, you can almost hear the sprinklers like.
Yeah.
So I was dancing the sprinkler, and then I started dancing like the gopher. People thought it was pretty obnoxious. I thought it was great.
And the Power of Love of Huey Lewis was in Back to the Future.
Power of Love's Back to the Future song, sure. You're exactly right about that. The Power of Love.
But and last thing just to throw in for the Cavs, I think the biggest problem was their perimeter guys that hadn't been performed last night and ours didn't, with Shumpert and J.R. Smith and all the secondary guys that we would count on didn't come to play last night or just were out of it, and they got us from that end. So if they can contribute, I think we're in good shape.
Yeah, the one other point when it comes to the last night's game is going small for Steve Kerr. Did you notice the number of like fast break points that they had with easy dunks at the other end? Draymond Green a couple times, Iguodala a couple times, and then because they were playing that perimeter game, I thought it was a little bit higher than it has been in the series. But the number of open looks, Harrison Barnes on whatever he was, maybe 3 of 8 for 10 or 12 points, whatever it was, every single shot that he made was essentially uncontested,
wide open.
Iguodala, at 50% of his baskets were uncontested, whether it be a dunk or a three-pointer, or you know Mozgov on his heels, afraid to get driven by. But they're just getting open looks. They move the ball. And some of the individuals we're sitting next to at the game just talked about, we're playing street ball. We really are. Whether it's Shump, JR, we all know
it's
LeBron.
Exactly what it is.
Whether it's LeBron, we're playing street ball.
Exactly,
and, you know, we don't run a play. The only time we run a play is when we come out of a timeout and, you know, LeBron or Blatt have the intent to get the ball to Mozgov down in the paint. And you can even see LeBron went on a couple of the offensive rebounds early to Tristan, like, dude, go right back up with it. Don't always look to pass. And you saw that, and he got off early. He had 10 points, you know, most of the, you know, in the first half of a series in a long time. And my last, you know, point in the rant was when LeBron tried to get a rest and we went Shump, J.R. Smith, James Jones, Dellavedova, and then either one of the bigs, Tristan or Mozgov. Love Matthew Dellavedova, but how is he our offensive threat when those five are on the court? We don't run a play. He ends up with the ball just like LeBron does with 5 seconds left on the clock, and we have Dellavedova, of all people, throwing up a last-ditch effort, hoping to bank it in.
It's so strange because LeBron has rested a little bit in the other games, a little bit. Have we ever looked as bad without him on the court or as lost without him on the court as we did in that sequence? I mean, it was atrocious.
It was.
It looked like a college team trying to play against an NBA team.
Yes. Like, and no one wanted the ball.
No one wanted the ball.
But the kid who started with it.
They should just run ISOs for Mozgov. We run way too much isolation, but that's neither here nor there. All right, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, the Gribs, Andrew Gribble, will join us here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We still also have to get to, we've got higher or lower. You got some good higher or lower stuff for us. We're going to do higher or lower, and then we're going to also do, we've got Gribble, Friday Forecast. So a lot to get to in hour number two. Keep the calls coming, 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.